This is Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. When you think about gymnastics, parallel bars, ropes, the pommel horse, what else pops into your head? Fighting Napoleon and frosted beer mugs? Me too.
Well, he came up with the idea that these boys should be trained to eventually fight Napoleon. And so they needed to be strong.
I'm talking with Brigitte Mom, who moved here from Germany to work for the German consulate in New Orleans until it closed in 1973. She's talking about Friedrich Ludwig Jahn, a.k.a. the father of gymnastics, a.k.a. the Turnvater.
Jahn lived from 1778 to 1852, and that was a very exciting period in the German history. For one thing, it was the Napoleonic Wars.
Jahn started what's called the Turner Movement in Germany in the early 1800s, in part to liberate his country from Napoleon's rule. Turnen means gymnastics in German, so the Turner Movement literally means the gymnastics movement. Their slogan was sound body, sound mind, and they placed equal emphasis on liberal intellect and physical activity, hence gymnastics and gym clubs called Turnvereins. They were filled with bars and swings and mats and countless equipment to climb on, jump from, and lift. And they had their own version of free weights called Indian clubs, which looked more like modern-day bowling pins than dumbbells. Turnvereins were all over Germany. Think Planet Fitness, but old school and with a social consciousness. As Liz Lemon would say,
I want to go to there.
Pour some out for 30 Rock. But much to Liz Lemon and my dismay, the clubs were only open to men. Anyway, the Turnvereins are going, people are pumping Indian clubs, getting buff. Then, in 1848, there was a German revolution. The revolutionaries, known as the 48ers, wanted a unified Germany, a democracy, and human rights. Many Turners were 48ers, but their revolution failed.
And a lot of the people, the leaders in this group, had to leave Germany. And most of them came to the United States.
Jahn, the Turnvater, went to jail, along with a lot of other revolutionaries. His followers fled, and many of these arriving expats helped bring the Turner movement to the U.S. The first two Turnvereins opened in Cincinnati and New York in 1848, and the third opened 3 years later in New Orleans. Soon, a few more popped up, including one on Lafayette and O'Keefe Streets in the CBD, in a building named Turner's Hall. It now houses the offices of the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, which is where Brigitte and I meet.
In this room, I think this is where the gymnasium was. From what I can gather, it's the third location, but it is the biggest and it is still here.
It's still here. I know. It's a nice elevator.
Yeah. I like the wood.
Most of these 48ers, these political refugees really, settled in the North and Midwest. The few that did come down south felt like misfits. Their views did not align with the antebellum times, so having a place like the Turnverein was really important to them. Then there were the German immigrants who were already here and excited to join the Turnvereins for purely social reasons, to have a place to meet other Germans, speak German, and just be German.
They had a bar inside, of course. If it's a bunch of Germans drinking beer, you know they're going to have a bar in there.
Which is funny, because, like, are they working out for, like, 3 hours and then just drinking for the next 5 hours?
Knowing them, yes. Yes. My name is Louis Meyer, and my grandfather is Gustav Friedrich Meyer. He's one of the earlier members of the Turnverein.
Not only was Louis's grandfather a Turnverein member, he lived in one. The family lived in an apartment in the back of one of the clubs.
They actually lived there from, I would say, 1915 to when Grandpa bought his house, 1923.
Grandpa Gustav was actually a gym teacher and gave lessons to other members at the Turnverein. He trained people in tumbling, free weights, fencing, and, wait for it, human pyramid.
My father was a member of it. He was with the pyramid, and he was the top of the pyramid.
This is Dorothea Dell. Her dad, Adolf Julius Fischer, was part of the human pyramid section of Gustav's Turnverein in the 1920s.
And that actually is a rather dangerous position. He stated that he was the lightest and the most supple and probably the most carefree.
She also grew up hearing how important it was to stay in shape.
And he emphasized that we should eat properly, and we did. And we were active. I, as a girl, I did jump rope and hopscotch and all of these types of things, and it was fun. That's what you did.
So he never, like, made you and your family kind of create your own family pyramid?
No. No, no, no.
You're listening to Tripod, New Orleans at 300. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson. Gymnastics was clearly the bread and butter of the Turnverein, but these clubs were more than athletic facilities. They rented their spaces out for marriage ceremonies, masquerade balls, Oktoberfests, and along with the athletic section, Turnvereins had singing groups, swimming clubs, and Sunday afternoon beer drinking. It was important for Germans to have a place for these activities, especially during the time period that Lewis's family lived there.
Remember the dates I mentioned was around 1915 to 1923, and World War I in Europe started in 1914, then the U.S. came in 1917, 1918. The public didn't like Germans very much. Daddy went to public school, which was one of the schools right down the block from where they lived. And he told me he constantly would have fights because they knew where he lived. He lived at the Turnverein, which was German.
So America went to war with Germany, and German Americans suddenly felt treated with suspicion by their neighbors. This created an even stronger craving for a German haven. Lewis's father told stories of being bullied at school, so he took advantage of the Turnverein too.
He would come back and have lunch at home. And being a German, of course, they drank beer. And Daddy told me that Grandpa would insist that they drink their beer, even as young kids. And if they didn't drink the beer, he would get upset. He would think something was wrong with them. And they could drink as much as two bottles of beer for lunch.
And how old was he?
I would say he was certainly as an adolescent, maybe 13, 14, if not even younger.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he would go back to school, and he would tell me he'd be tipsy going back to school.
Anti-German sentiment lingered after the war, and German Americans continued to become more American. In 1928, the remaining German clubs of New Orleans consolidated into the Deutsches Haus and moved to 200 South Galvez Street.
Let's see here.
Daniel Hammer is the deputy director of the Historic New Orleans Collection. He showed me some of the old records the collection still holds that the Turnverein kept before they folded.
And that's where we are. We're in the vault.
In the vault.
This is the book of proceedings of the Turnverein of New Orleans. From 1912 through 1928. Turner Lewis Schultz Sr. stellte den Antrag, dass und regelrecht.
No one knows for sure how long followers of the Turner movement continued gymnastics at Deutsches Haus, but the sport eventually lost its German identity. Daniel says this may go back to the ongoing process of cultural assimilation following the war. Other activities took hold.
Bowling was a famous pastime at Deutsches Haus for many years. And maybe in their mind somewhere, bowling was the Turner's way of carrying forward the communal recreation that was such a central aspect of the Turner societies of the past.
In some ways, though, we've all experienced a little Turnverein. If you went to public school, you probably did some type of presidential fitness test. You ran a mile, did some pull-ups, 100 crunches, that sort of thing, and then got a little certificate at the end. Brigitte Mom says you can thank the Turners for that.
They actually trained the teachers to give athletic instruction. Yeah, that goes back to that it got into the public schools.
And even though it was such a small group of people actually participating in the Turnvereins, the entire youth of the city of New Orleans was kind of in a Turnverein by going to school and taking gym.
I guess so.
Tripod is a production of WWNO New Orleans Public Radio in collaboration with the Historic New Orleans Collection and the University of New Orleans Midlow Center for New Orleans Studies. Special thanks to Evan Christopher for the opening theme music. Catch Tripod on the air Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. and Monday afternoons on All Things Considered. To hear this episode of Tripod again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And hey, while you're there, rate us. It really does help. You can also go to WWNO.org where you can see a picture of Lewis Meyer's father holding a pair of Indian clubs. I'm Lane Kaplan-Levenson, and I'll tripod you later.